How are y'all doing? Good. All right. Well, I want to make sure that we cover the basic training for prophetic ministry book. I am using some of it and then kind of adding my own few cents to it. I want to make sure that we get at least through, we need to go over chapter 8 too. Okay, so we're in chapter 7. Right now, if you're following along or if you have the book. And I want to kind of just do a bit of a review a little bit before we jump into it, because we've been talking, you know, some of you guys, I don't know if you've been through every session or if you've been listening in, but I know that not everybody's been here for every session, and I want to just be able to say it's really kind of important to not jump into prophetic ministry at this session if you haven't had some level of foundation of some of the teaching that we've been talking about beforehand, because it's really, really important that we have the boundaries, right? So we're going to talk about prophetic etiquette, which is in that chapter, but I want to kind of just review, just real brief, the difference between prophet, the office of prophet, and the gift of prophecy. Who can tell me that? Pop quiz. Yes. Right, right. So the office of a prophet is ordained by God. You don't get to pursue the office. The office pursues you, okay? So that's really important. We can all prophesy. Scripture says, even Paul said, I wish that you would all prophesy. And so you may. It's the children's bread, but it is as the Holy Spirit wills, because it's a supernatural gift. You cannot do it by yourself. Okay, it's a partnership with him. You learning to practice the muscle, doing the activations that we're doing is really an encouraging word unless the power of the Holy Spirit empowers it. My sound just went out. Are we good? Okay. And so it's really important that we understand that, that there is a difference. And that's why sometimes when we're, quote, practicing the gifts, it may not feel very powerful or anointed or whatever it is because we are exercising that muscle. It may not be God, right, in those moments. That's the thing. It might be a good word. It might be an encouraging word. It might be something real positive. You know, we can all speak blessing and encouraging words, but it takes the supernatural presence of Holy Spirit on that, right, to fuel it. So it is a supernatural gift. And you delivering it as well as the person receiving it will know the difference, because you both have the same Holy Spirit to be able to discern and judge the word. So that's really important. So tell me, what are some different ways, the language of God, as we talked about that, what are some different ways that you can hear from the Lord? Just go ahead and pop out some. What are some ways? Nature. That's a great one. Vision. Yes, pictures, vision. Dreams. Impressions. Scripture, hearing it, numbers, sounds. Yeah, I mean, pretty much any way that you can sense or discern the voice of the Lord, he comes in lots of different ways, okay? So it's really important for us to be in tune with that. Some of us are going to be more leaning one way or the other in terms of where you might be able to hear him more clearly. And I always like to encourage people that sometimes if we've been talking with the Lord in one way, for example, there was a season where I just kept getting dream after dream after dream after dream in Technicolor, and I like have books, you know, of all these prophetic dreams, and then it just stopped. And part of it was because there was a season where I was just not going to bed on time and waking up really early. And if you don't pay attention and write and get good rest, you're not really going to be able to enter into that level of sleep, number one. But sometimes when he shifts the way he speaks, that's what it feels like when we think, oh, where'd God go? He's not talking in the same way that he used to. It's because he's probably teaching you another way to hear him. Like, it's another level. It's another way to press into him. It's a test, if you will. And my definition of a test is an opportunity to prove what you know. Okay, so every test or trial that comes is not about pass or fail, it's about come up higher. It's prove what you know. I always think of martial arts belt testing. You know, my husband's into that. And when you go from white belt to yellow belt to green belt to whatever, you know, you don't take a test in order to fail. They give you tests in order to prove what you've been learning, that you know it, so that why? You can go to the next level, right? So every test is an opportunity to prove what you know and who you know, so that you can advance to the next level, whatever that is. So I just want to release that. All right, so in giving and receiving the words, it's really important that we give people permission to judge the word. We talked a lot about that, about how important it is, the difference between the revelation, the interpretation, and the application of a word. The revelation, I like when I give a word, I like to try to give people how I got it. Like, okay, so I saw this picture, or I felt this feeling or heard this song in my head, or what, like I try to describe the revelation that I got first and see if it makes any sense to the person. Because sometimes that's a word of knowledge. And I honestly cannot always tell the difference between a word of knowledge or the prophetic piece that comes with it. And a lot of times one builds on the other. Okay, so one example that I gave is the most vivid one in my mind is when I was leading worship one time and saw a college student in the audience and later approached him. I said, I just kept seeing this picture of you rock climbing. Like I just saw you climbing this mountain. Does that mean anything to you? Like, you know, are you a rock climber? And his eyes went like super big and was like, I was just at Enchanted Rock rock climbing, you know, that like that weekend. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I just kind of paused for a minute because I didn't have anything other than that, right? So I'm like, all right, Father, was that it? Like, why did you tell me that? And then came the prophetic word, right? And so what I said was, okay, so I'm getting this impression from that picture that what the Lord is saying is that you feel like you're climbing this really tall mountain, but you're about to hit the top where you're going to be able to see really clearly. And I kept getting this impression about like not knowing where he's going, like feeling like he's not knowing where he's going, and yet he's right where he's supposed to be, climbing the path up to where he's supposed to get to, and that he'll see clearly soon, right? Well, long story short, he was a college student. He had yet to declare his major. He wasn't really sure what he was going to do. He wasn't really sure what he was supposed to do next, or, you know, all that good stuff. And so that was part of the word for him. So it's important that we give the word according to our faith. We don't have to scream, we don't have to yell, we don't have to speak in King James Version, right? You know, so just saying, like, be you, right? And when we've done the activations, we've talked a lot about delivery, because sometimes when we're getting words or pictures, we kind of get this impression, and it may be true that God's giving some level of direction or encouragement for you to do something, but a lot of times what I was kind of hearing, which is very normal, very common, is for us to say, well, God wants you to do this. Like, well, I think he wants you to study more. I think he wants you to do da-da-da-da-da. And I'm not saying that that's not part of the word, except the Lord in prophetic ministry is going to declare who you are and where you're going or what's about to happen, right? Prophetic ministry is not, I'm going to give you a to-do list. Does that make sense? So there might be some things in it that he is going to encourage you to do. I'm not saying that he won't, you know. Kind of like the example I've given is, you know, if the Lord says that, you know, he sees you going to Costa Rica, we use that example, you know, then I encourage you to start learning Spanish or talk to the people that go to Costa Rica. You know, that would be natural things to do to kind of line yourself up in that regard. Does that make sense? Okay. But the actual prophetic word is not telling people what to do. It's who they are, how God sees them, what's coming in the future. It is future oriented. And so that's really important to understand that. And I also say that about who you are. I was asking the Lord, you know, how to clarify that, because sometimes I feel like, well, that's the word of knowledge sometimes. And really it's identity is so important to the Father, that we know who we are. And oftentimes when I get words for people, it's a lot of the times it's about identity. It's about who they are. It's declaring who they are. And a lot of the time those people don't know that that is who they are. So it's how God sees them. It's like when the angel came to Gideon and said, mighty man of valor. And he's like, huh? I'm the lowest of the low and the lowest tribe of, you know, all the tribes of Israel, you know? But he declared how he was known in heaven, okay? And so it is his identity, but it was also a prophetic word of who he was becoming, right? Who he is and who he was becoming. Okay, so let's jump into chapter 7. This is prophetic etiquette. I like this chapter. It's really simple, but pretty important. I like how he says here at the top of page 69, most of us have experienced a right prophetic word in the wrong season or a wrong word in the right season. And this chapter is all about how to speak the right word in the right season, including proper delivery. Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. And he gives an example of something that happens sometimes in the church. Particularly, he mentions many years ago in a particular charismatic church, there was a woman who would abruptly stand up in the middle of the pastor's sermon. She would shake, manifest, tremble, and scream out a message in tongues nearly every Sunday, and it was followed by an interpretation of equal volume spoken in dramatic King James English. Apparently, every Sunday. I'm like, so didn't the leadership kind of jump in there? So, guidelines to proper prophetic ministry. The following are not meant to be laws. They are meant to give some, quote, banks to the river. I like that. Without banks, the river becomes a flood, and in a flood, the water typically does more damage than good, okay? And the sad truth is that that is what some people have experienced in prophetic ministry, and we don't want anywhere near that. So, every culture has its own unique flavor and style, but essentially, it is essential, however, to realize it's not our culture or style that makes the word prophetic. What makes the word prophetic is God speaking through somebody, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:39-40, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. An important key to remember, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, okay? Holy Ghost doesn't just take over like he possesses you and you can't help it, okay? Holy Spirit will subject himself to the vessel that he's using. Remember, you have free will. He wants you to partner with him. You might feel the unction like you can't help it, but I guarantee that you can. Scripture says so. Okay? Sometimes people will say, well, God made me, or the Spirit came on me, and I just had to. Like, I understand the feeling of the unction. I have felt that. But again, the Lord knows when and the timing of things and how you should do that. You know, you hear what I'm saying? So it's important. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Here are some examples that illustrate times when it is inappropriate to give a word. When we're angry, have a strong negative emotional feeling towards someone or people from who we have a word. When we use it as a platform to validate our personal doctrine or belief, such as, this example, I, the Lord, say you tonight, thou shall not go to movies. When we have no relationship or accountability to the person or the group of people receiving our prophecy, it's important for prophetic people to have a sense of ownership of the people to whom they're ministering. Too often, people might have an us and them attitude toward the people they're ministering to, and it's unhealthy and dishonoring, okay? And that's also because it's so important for us to help people understand, like, what's happening when we give the word. So it's really important, like, let's say we're going to go out and do street ministry or whatever, and you get a prophetic word for somebody. Like, I've done that, and I've just said, I know this sounds really strange, but I'm learning how to hear God and how to get really good at it. I think he still speaks, and he's done it before, and I just really feel like I feel like he wants me to tell you something. And that's a good way to say it. I will catch myself sometimes say I have a word for you, and people are like, uh-huh, a word? You have a what for me? That's Christianese, people. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. So you gotta have to change your language when you're working with people who don't follow the language, right? Well, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you something, that this is how he sees you. This is the picture that I saw when I saw you or whatever it is. And then just see if it fits. And if it doesn't, it's totally okay, right? Like, talk like a normal human being. Talk like you would talk to anybody, you know, that you might know, okay? It doesn't have to go wild and crazy. And you want to be really tender to the person that's receiving it, right? And remember what I said, the difference between words of knowledge and prophecy. A word of knowledge is factual information that I shouldn't know about you. But then the prophecy part is right, about your future, who you are or about your future. And sometimes people don't understand the difference. So I think sometimes, or maybe it's just me, I think sometimes you have to teach a little bit about that. Like I don't know that God's saying that, you know, you need to stop this and do that. But, you know, sometimes we have to be able to explain. Oh, because people will just kind of go, oh, that's not me. No, that's not what I do. Well, this is really the potential for what can happen or what the Lord would like to see happen, right? Like, it's good to maybe use that word for people when you share that. All right. We were just talking about authority earlier, and he says in here, authority equals accountability plus responsibility plus accessibility. So that's good. Delivery of the word. Here's some guidelines. It is not necessary nor recommended to use the King James English when prophesying. It will not validate that what we're saying is from God. I don't know why anybody would think it would. You don't have to sound like Shakespeare, he says. I think that's just religious spirit stuff, okay? I think most of us know that here. It's important that our demeanor matches that of Holy Spirit's. Meaning, it is just as important for us to correctly present the tone in which Holy Spirit's communicating the word as to what he's being said. We don't have to yell. We don't have to scream. We don't have to, do you know what I'm saying? We don't have to make our voice do anything different to make the quote-unquote prophecy better, okay? The tone of voice, just like in anything else when we're communicating, right? Like, no one wants to be yelled at or screamed at or whatever. I will say, Stacey Campbell does a great job in talking about ecstatic prophecy in her book, and she is a prophet, and I do believe she walks in the office, and when she will give a word, oftentimes, but not every time, she will whip her head really fast, like her hair's like slapping her face really hard, 100 times faster than this right here. I mean, I'll lose my microphone if I do it too fast, but that's how she manifests sometimes, and sometimes when you get the unction of the Spirit, the emotion joins in that. And especially if you're an emotionally expressive person, it can get easy for you to get louder. So all the more so you have to be aware, right, of how you're presenting the prophetic ministry and stuff to that person. So what I love about Stacey's ministry is that she will tell people beforehand. Every time I've seen her minister, she submits herself, number one, to the authority of the pastor in the house, which I think is huge. Let's just talk about that. Let's pause there for a minute. If you're ever going to minister prophetic ministry in the church, in any church, I strongly recommend you get permission and authority from the pastor first, okay? Because they're the shepherd of the house, and you can release the word to them, and they can filter and decide to give that word or to let you give that word to somebody. It's really important that you consider that. As we're doing that here, you know, we're going to be releasing and doing some things to be able to encourage that as we develop this prophetic culture in this house. But Jay and I really want that to be something we understand about honor, so that we always have that place of accountability, like I said, that we're walking it out well. Okay, that we're not just, you know, what I call prophecy bombing people, you know, without accountability and without really making sure that it's Holy Spirit, okay? It's really important because people have been really damaged by prophetic ministry, and we really want to redeem it in its rightful place, okay, because it's powerful. So, of course, the enemy wants to taint it, twist it, and let it not be something that's in the church, right? But I really feel like the Lord wants to redeem it and bring it back out again. Yes. That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm new to the church.
Yeah. I would encourage you to give it to me or to give it to Pastor Jay. You know, so oftentimes Jay's going to be right up here at the front. I usually sit kind of right over here on this section over here. But we're going to create a process for that. Did you want to speak to that, Jay?
It's a very good question, mm-hmm. because we know there's lots of folks, too, that are coming in, especially since we've invited the Spirit here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who come from different backgrounds. So that's one reason we took our ministry team through the How Do You Pray for the Sick earlier. That's why we're going through prophetic ministry now, as we can begin to establish what the culture looks like. What I would say is we're going to get a couple of doorkeepers on that, because on Sunday morning, I'm listening and taking the temperature of the room. And so something like that, too, the potential is I could have 10, 15 people coming up to me with a word. And so we're going to do that because I think it's important. And so once we establish that, very soon we'll actually communicate that both on Wednesday night and actually on a Sunday morning, because we want what God is saying to be heard.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't yell
out. Yeah. Yeah, no. When our friends, Alan Smith, who pastors Catch the Fire up in DFW, one of the things they did to establish it, and this is what I'm kicking around, was they put a box in the back where somebody, if you felt like you had a word, you can come and write it down, and then they had a doorkeeper, an elder, that would come back, read it, and if they felt like it was needed to be released to the pastor, then they would come up to Alan and do that. So it may be some sort of variation of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But until then, I would encourage you, before you do, a whole lot of it, if you feel like it's something that needs to be passed through leadership, then please bring it. I'll be glad, to kind of hear it and walk you guys through it, because I want to equip you guys and encourage you guys to be able to do that with people in a safe place. And especially with those of you who know that you've kind of been in here in the class, like I'm okay with you guys practicing with one another, because you guys know you've been in this class, right? But not everybody has been, and stuff too. And so it's really important, because you've all heard that teaching. And so as we're doing that here, that's why we're doing the activation, that's why we're practicing and doing all that here, because remember, we have to fail a couple times, right? Like, we've got to be able to take risk. We've got to be able to step out and not be afraid to give it, because that's the only way we'll know if we're hearing and saying and doing it well, and giving feedback that, yes, we're hearing from one another or not, or if there's something about the delivery or something like that that we want to, kind of talk through. Like, that's how we're going to be able to grow and build this. So that's really important. Thank you for asking that question. All right. And the biggest, number three there on the top of page 71, love must be the center of all that we do. When we're ministering the gifts of the Spirit, our motive must always be to bring out the best in people. Okay? So love has to cover all of it. That's why we've talked about before, too, previously, we talked about how, remember that, the litmus test for prophecy is that it would edify, exhort, or bring comfort. Okay, that's the fruit. Like, did that do those things? Did it draw that person to the Father or into his body, right, and toward one another, not repel, okay? So that's really important. It needs to be encouraging. It's also important in terms of using phrases and so forth. It's important to say a prophetic word according to your level of faith. It's okay to say, I don't know, I'm just hearing, or I think I might hear. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. I would recommend not actually saying that. But there are times that I feel very strongly that I really feel like this is the Lord, so I'm going to tell you in that way. And sometimes as I continue with the word, if the word goes long enough, then sometimes I'll say, and I hear the Lord say. Because as I speak, sometimes he'll give more. Okay? And so it's not just the one word, but it's just like once I step out in that one word, then he kind of gives you another. Oh, and then here comes another picture. Oh, and then here comes something else. So sometimes as you step out in that small piece, he'll start, it's almost like this funnel, right? You'll just start kind of getting something. So sometimes that's just a phrase, and I hear the Lord say, or I see this picture, or because I'm describing how I'm getting the revelation. Does that make sense? And so that does happen. But again, the whole reason why we're teaching on this too, and especially on the judging of the word, is really important, because to me, that's the most important part of this teaching on some level, is that you have to judge the word. You have to screen through the word and make sure that it sings of Holy Spirit, that it edifies you and encourages, right? Or it's not going to be from the Lord. So he talks about negative or judgment words. The Bible is clear that life and death are in our words. When we give people negative words, we often release death over them. Our goal is to be a part of a ministry that releases life and calls out the best in people, calls out the gold. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Most of the time, it's best to avoid giving any negative or judgmental words. Remember that even though it might end positively, it doesn't mean that it was really an encouraging word, okay? So a good rule to follow is, if you wouldn't want to receive the word, then you probably shouldn't give it. That's a really, really good litmus test, okay, for that. So guidelines to help you be able to receive any warning or judgment words. First of all, ask yourself if negative words are common to you. If you tend to get a high percentage of prophetic revelation that you get is negative, then you might be the problem. Okay, that's from Chris right here. I didn't say it, so don't get mad at me, but it's true. Okay, because it's easy to see the dirt in people's lives. Okay, that's not what we're calling out. We want to call out the solution, okay? We want to call out the answer. We want to ask the Father for the opposite, for the answer. Now, there is occasion sometimes the Lord can warn of upcoming dangerous or negative situations, and he informs us about that so that we'll pray, and we pray till the burden lifts. It doesn't mean you say it. So that's the other thing. Like, if you're going to be honored by the Lord for him to give you secrets, treasures within people or about situations, then really honor it, right? Like, really ask the Father what you're to do with that information, right? That would be the most way to partner with him. Treasure that. Treasure the fact that you even got that information, right? That's huge. The Lord's trusting you with that. How do you handle what he gives you? You want to ask the Holy Spirit that releases a prophetic word that releases life on the situation. Prophetic ministry releases grace for things to change. Prophesying the answer will lift spirits and come against the darkness that may be threatening. And if a warning persists, then take it to leadership. Once it's given over to them, then they can have ownership of it and are responsible. And then that way, then we have two or three or more then really discerning and praying into that word. And sometimes there are some those kinds of things. I know if any of you get the Elijah list, Cindy Jacobs, who I do believe is an office of the prophet, and she really received a warning that she wanted intercessors to begin to pray. She was very clear that she was not prophesying danger and things that were going to take place, but that she felt like there was an impression, a discernment that she picked up on, particularly about the Olympic Games and things or whatever, but to pray into protection, you know, into those kinds of things. It was an invitation to cosmic intercession, not prophesying this will happen. Does that make sense? There is a difference. There is a difference, okay? That's not declaring judgment. That's picking up on interference in the second heaven and saying, okay, we need to pray against this. We're hearing some strategy, and we need to pray, okay? All right. I'm going to skip over a couple of things in here for sake of time. I just think what we've said before, we don't need to keep repeating. Accountability is really important. We've talked about having gatekeepers and how we want to be able to do that. I'm going to save 8 and 9 for next week. Next week will be our last class time, and I don't want to breeze through that false prophet teaching because I think it's really important to slow down on that one. But I will just say that remember, a false prophet, you are not a false prophet if you get it wrong. Old Testament, New Testament prophecy is different. In the Old Testament, they didn't have Holy Spirit, right? If they said it, then it better be God, because they were leading the nation in direction and stuff too. That's very different. We all now have Holy Spirit. We should at least be able to confirm with one another, was that God, whenever we get that, right? Make sense? Okay, so any questions about any of that? Just general prophetic etiquette. Say that 5 times fast. Prophetic etiquette, prophetic etiquette, prophetic etiquette. Yes, Mia. So she was prophesying over your daughter? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, you might be picking up on some things. You might be able to read people's mail about some things in the negative, but that's why you have to press in higher. See, in my opinion, if you're getting that stuff, you're entering into second heaven, and that's where the demonic is. That's where the warfare is at. We got to go higher. We got to get to third heaven. That's the throne room, right? That's where we want to be able to hear from the heart of the Father is up there. So when we get negatives, it's like you just haven't pressed in a little bit higher to get the positive. Does that make sense? We got to go higher. It's one thing to get it. Okay, so now that you get it, now what? You're like, okay, well, Father, what are you saying? Remember, good litmus test. Well, I wouldn't want that word. So what's the Father saying about that? What could be the next thing? Does that make sense? Okay. What? Someone else had a question? So are you talking about the person that's giving or receiving the word? I'm a little confused by following.
No, I'm just saying, like, if I came in here and I kept going to everybody and telling them, you know, you look great, you're going to have wealthy, healthy wives and everything else like that, that could be a major danger too, right? So, like, you keep telling everybody everything's going to go great and this and that and so forth, and then you get a following yourself, and people like to hear that stuff.
Okay, well, there's like three things that you're bringing up in that comment, though. It's a great comment, so let me break that down. What he's talking about is, well, what happens if all I do is just give positive words then? Okay, well, number one, prophecy is positive, so you will be giving positive words, okay? But if you get positive, if you're giving positive words and you get a following, well, let's check that for a second. Who are we following? Jesus, okay? Yeah, I know, but this is the litmus test. So, are you following Jesus? Okay, so if you're receiving the word and all of a sudden, because someone is just, you're just so great at hearing all of that stuff and you keep going to that person to hear from the Lord, there's a problem, right? Because what we are teaching is we can all prophesy and we can all hear from the Lord. We are all his sheep and my sheep hear my voice is what Jesus said, right? And so our heart needs to be able to discern that. If a following begins to happen with somebody, then it can become a situation where it's a false prophet, and we will talk about that next week. But that's where we have to kind of have, like I was talking about, accountability, right? That you as the person receiving the word all of a sudden can't have flowery rosy glasses on the person that just prophesied over you and all of a sudden they're your favorite friend because all they do is give you positive words. Well, listen, if it was true prophetic ministry though, it's going to lead you toward God, and it's going to be a God thing. It's going to be a supernatural thing. It's not going to be just, oh, a bunch of compliments. Do you know what I mean? But there can be a temptation to go, oh, well, let me, because, you know, she's getting a whole lot of words from me, so let me keep going and seeing, is God telling you anything else about me today? Then put a timeout on that one. Squash that and go, listen, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. How about you ask him? You know, that's what I would do. If someone came up to me and said, do you have anything for me? Not offhand, but how about you ask God, because you obviously want to hear something, you know? Let's pray and let's ask if you hear something or whatever, because you can hear him too, right? So there isn't a danger in it if you create the culture that says this is what true prophetic ministry is. Does that make sense? Okay, but let me go back to the negative thing, because someone brought up a great question about, well, but you know, Chris kind of addresses it in the teaching earlier too about always calling out the greatness, right? Like the pastor had come in the middle of a teaching and he had said something, well, I think you're just making people pretty like proud, right? You think making them to be really arrogant or whatever and that they're really, really great. And his example was being able to use a piece of art, right? And he says, now look at this art. And let's say you're the artist and I'm like looking at the art and going, that's horrible art. That is just ugly and it has no talent whatsoever to paint that. He said, did I just glorify the painting or the artist at all? No. It's like, so what harm is it for me to be able to say that the creation that was made is amazing and wonderful? It gives glory to the artist. Well, God made you, and Jesus sat for the portrait, right? Like, so you're not over puffing people's ego. Right? Like, that's not what it's about. It's about God did make each and every one of us great. There is greatness inside of each one of us. We were made in the very image of God himself. We are his kids. We're his kids. Don't you love your kids? Those of you who have kids, they're yours. That's why you love them. Okay? So it should stir up that positive encouragement. It says it, encouragement, exhortation, or comfort. That is the litmus test for prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many of us are praying for children of our own. And, you know, God just told me, he said, you need to be praying. And I do this, like, maybe annually, but he's been telling me I need to do it more often because I was rereading some stuff. One of my sons, who I'm praying for, wrote at my 60th birthday, and it was about the fact that he doesn't know why, but when he needs it, I'll say something or I'll call him or write him something that he didn't deserve to hear, but that encouraged him. Mm-hmm. That's what prophecy is. And that's what we need to be doing with our kids. We need to be asking for words more often. We ought to be getting things for each other more often. Mm-hmm. Because it's the Father's love.
That's right. Yeah, and as we grow a prophetic culture, right, we won't need, like, if it's to be a prophetic word that's released to the body or to the house, that's what the gatekeeper thing is for. Do y'all get that? Like, that's what that's really for. If it's about personal ministry and you still want to have some accountability in that, then come to me or whatever, and, you know, and I'll be able to sit with you on that and we can kind of walk through it. But ultimately, when you create a prophetic culture, that's exactly right. What we're doing is prophesying over each other, like, all the time. You know, that we're getting stuff from the Lord and we are encouraging people and we are telling them what the Father is saying or whatever. There's pieces to the puzzle or things that you're praying for. I look at it this way. To empower street ministry, prophetic ministry, you know, we go out on the streets and do treasure hunts or whatever it is and praying for healing, whatever. If you're praying for a prodigal, if you're praying for a lost one, somebody in your, you know, family that you wish you can kind of shake to wake up, right, and to get with Jesus as fast as possible, okay? Like, it's one thing for you to be the one always telling them and always encouraging, but what if a total stranger off the street comes and reads their mail and tells them everything about them, right? Like, if you want someone to do that for someone that you love, then go do it for other people because they have loved ones who want them to know it too. Does that make sense? I mean, that should be motivation enough for me to want to take a few risks to be able to minister and love on people. But you're absolutely right. We cannot forget. If love is not in it, then it's a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's scripture, right? Forget the gifts. Love is the greatest thing of all. If you just loved that person really well, man, you could change their life all by itself, right? Like, that's the most powerful thing ever, okay? So it's not, it's worthless without love. Yes, Albert. Meaning you have the word for somebody that has direction?
God gives you a word. If you're, let me preface this. A true prophet who understands kingdom protocol will never intentionally want to do something that will hinder the people from hearing from God and getting what God has.
Right.
Their level of humility and the fear of the Lord won't allow them to prostitute the gift, so to speak.
That's right.
You know there are people that prostitute you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not a positive word.
No, it's not.
It was a word direct from heaven and that was God's way of warning him to leave the adulterous relationship. He didn't take heed to it, and the results were the results.
Well, two things I'll say to that. Number one is I don't know if that person was in the office of a prophet or not, and I do think that there's another level of accountability when you walk in an office, but I also think there's a place of accountability in relationship. I also believe that sometimes when you speak those things, he could have had a word of knowledge about all of that, but what he declared was, in 6 months, she will die and you will die. And what he did was he empowered the ability for that to happen. So that's why we don't prophesy negative things. He had a word of knowledge about that. Number one, if he ever did it in public, I don't think that was appropriate. That's not what we want. If he had a relationship with the person and he got with that person, or even if he didn't, to pull them aside one-on-one and say, you know, I have this word of knowledge and I think this is this true? I feel like I'm hearing from the Lord and I encourage you, what would the Father say then? What does the Father want to say about that? You have a wife at home, you have a family, and you have, you know, that to me would be a prophetic word. But what he prophesied was the very thing that then happened. In my opinion, he empowered it to happen. He had a level of power that could open up the door for the death to come. And that's why the power of the tongue speaks life or death. And we have to be very careful about how we speak it. But that's Old Testament. I know, but that's Old Testament. Well, that's Jack. Yeah, but I can quote Isaiah and I can quote Elijah and all that too. And they, again, they were in the office of the prophet and it was in the Old Testament time. No one else heard the voice of the Lord. So they spoke it as the voice of God. If they didn't, they were stoned. That's completely different than New Testament prophecy. Completely different. That's completely different. Jenny, question? Yes.
When he gives her, reads, you know, yes, even this man you're with is not even your husband.
Right. That's word of knowledge.
And, but he wrapped it in, let's not do that anymore, didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave her, he turned that into a positive.
Right.
And then she went back and said, this man told me all about myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that was an example, I think, of more of a positive word of knowledge.
Which is different than prophecy. So let's break that down. She's talking about the woman at the well. And what did Jesus do? He had words of knowledge about who was at her home, that it wasn't her first husband, et cetera, et cetera. What we don't know is the rest of the conversation. All we know is that later she goes to the townspeople. Okay, let's think about this, what her life was. Everybody knew her. That's why she was out there at the well at a certain time of day. She goes with excitement and joy and life through the village, telling all of these people who have hated her whole life, judged her, and she was so on fire and so empowered by love that she told everybody, y'all got to come and meet this guy because he told me everything about my life. I don't think she meant just the words of knowledge that he got. I think he probably prophesied life and who she really is and who she was to become and what was capable of her, but we didn't get to hear that piece in the story. But what we heard was word of knowledge, information. We didn't hear the full prophetic word, but we saw the fruit of the prophetic word as she went and told the townspeople and the whole townspeople got saved. Does that make sense? We didn't hear, if you go back and look in the story, we don't really see the prophetic part, calling out identity and all those other kinds of things. But what he was talking about is, here am I, have relationship with me. He was calling her to himself too.
So then to
that's different. It is, that's what I'm saying. Right. He had a word of knowledge about the woman at the hotel, but he prophesied death. He didn't prophesy life and say, you're better than this. You're a man of honesty. This is who God made you to be. You're supposed to be fidel, truthful to your wife. You're supposed to be, this is who God made you to be. That would have been a prophetic word, not prophesying death, this will happen or this will happen if you don't. Okay, that's how I see prophecy. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think this might be an example applies to us since we're not, you know, I don't know, there may be some of you who are in office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But do you hear, that's a great example of me. Thank you for sharing that. Because you can get, again, negative, but then you ask God how to pray. First, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to say? Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. And so then prophesying, this is who you are. This is what you're empowered to be able to do. Those are those things. And to me, the supernatural piece was the timing of it and stuff as well, right? And so that's a beautiful example of being able to shift that. So did you want to say something real quick? Because we need to do the activation. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Yeah. Do you want to, I mean, you can feel free.
I think it's important because I know who John Bevere is, too, that there's, and he's definitely a man who hears from the Lord and does a lot of good stuff. So I think there's more context to what you were saying, too, than that we may understand of it. So let's be careful when we're talking about another circumstance. It almost becomes hearsay to what he did or didn't do. But what I do think is it was absolutely a word of knowledge. And for me, how would I handle it? It would be, the Lord wants to call you into a level of purity. I think it's important. What makes something prophetic and not prophetic was when God's grace comes onto it, it releases something to happen that couldn't previously happen. So what's the difference between just a good sugary word and an empowering prophetic word is when it's from the Lord, there's that grace. Remember, grace gives you the ability to do something that you could not do 1 second before you receive grace. You're saved by grace, right? So when you receive the grace of the Lord, you're saved. You cannot save yourself until you receive grace. In the same way, we're talking about prophetic words and why it's so important to hear and talk about this, the separation between positive words, just a good positive word. It may be just a good encouraging word. It doesn't necessarily make it prophetic. What makes it prophetic? When the grace of God comes on it, it releases something so that the hearer is able to accomplish or fulfill or step into what you're releasing. That's not up to you, right? It's up to the Lord, and it's up to the person that's receiving. You can receive a prophetic word all day. It has the grace on it, but if you don't receive grace, that person may or may not walk into it. So that, just like a word of correction, I think that was a word of correction. So be careful with it. That's different. That's not a prophetic word.
Right.
That's a word of correction. There's a word of encouragement to, hey, you know what leads to death, mm-hmm. what leads to separation. You live in a broken world. So if you continue to do stupid things are going to happen, right? I think that's a word of correction. That's not a word of prophecy. A word of prophetic would be, you know what, the Lord's got something good for you. Mm-hmm. Right? So step into the good things that the Lord has done for you. Step into that. Right, and I think that would be a difference on that. That's the difference between prophecy or prophetic words and a word of correction. And let's just remember, he was Jesus, right? And there was accountability relationally one. It wasn't released publicly. Obviously, we read it publicly, but there's a word that he had relationship with that. So I would say, too, is you have to eat the fruit of your ministry. Right. Let's just give this example real quick, because we need to do this. What if the word that somebody gave was, you got a woman there and stuff like that, and it wasn't true? Right. Does that person have the ability to come back to the prophet and say, that's not true. I don't have a woman there. There needs to be that's the accountability. That's the are you willing to lead to eat the fruit of your ministry? And Chris doesn't go through a good teaching about the Shemanite woman, and he had prophesied that she would have a kid, and then he died, and she comes back and says, don't send me one of your lackeys. You need to eat the fruit of your ministry. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about, relationship, and we'll get into next week.
The other thing is this. I think there's two different things that we're touching on, too. Number one, the heart of prophecy is the heart of the Father. And who God is to you is who he'll be through you. If your God and your father is constantly harsh and disciplinarian all the time and looking at you in that striving legalistic manner, then he may come through you in that way. So be cautious about that. But the other thing is, spirit of prophecy is different than what he's saying about correction. We're not saying that you don't correct people. We're not saying that you don't love them well enough to be able to say, hey, you're off target here. Okay, but what we're talking about is you can give a warning, you can give a correction, but we want you to be able to do it in love, and you need to have relationship and have accountability. It's different than the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is the power to either foretell or forthtell the future. Who you are, what's happening, what's coming out of the heart of the Father. So learning the difference, that's why we talked about how important it is to know the difference between a word of knowledge, which is factual information, and then the heart of prophecy, which is different than that word of correction or rebuke or whatever. We're not saying don't call out people's stuff, but you don't do it in public, and you don't do it to create shame. But if I have relationship with somebody, then I'm going to tell them, listen, I love you too much to let you keep doing that, right? Like that's okay to do that, but have relationship. Right? Like, how would you receive somebody? Someone's calling out your stuff and telling you, you need to change this and this. You're feeling judged or feeling shame or, right? Like, again, prophecy is edifying, encouraging, and bringing comfort. It will draw you near to the heart of God. It will draw you near. It will not bring you onto your knees to cry and to repent because you're broken and shameful. It brings you to your knees because you can't believe how amazing your God is and that he thinks so highly of you. Right? Like that is what he's saying when Paul talks about that I wish that you would all may prophesy, and particularly that then tongues, as unbelievers would come into the church, that they would all hear you all prophesying because you're declaring how amazing they are and what a powerful future they are, and you're calling out the dreams that are inside their heart that God has for him too that is going to come. That is prophecy. Does that make sense? All right, so I want us to get into some activation. We really lost a lot of time on this. If you have to leave by 8:30, you are welcome to leave whenever you want to leave, but I do want to give an opportunity for us to be able to practice. We're going to do a couple of different exercises.